Welcome to the Real Docs Podcast. Hosted by Dr. Britt Lesher and Dr. Lisa John. Tune in every Wednesdays for new episodes. This podcast does not act as medical advice and should not be used as a substitute for medical care. Please contact your healthcare professional for questions regarding your health.
Hello and welcome back to season 2, last episode of the season, episode 12
Woo!
Of the Real Docs Podcast. We are your co-host. I'm Dr. Lisa Jung.
And I'm Dr. Britt Lesher.
And today we are going to do a TikTok reaction video. We haven't done this in a while.
I know.
We're going to react to a TikTok video that is ever so popular, and I'm sure you have heard about it. You know, someone's mom probably heard about it. Your dog probably heard about it. Like, everybody's probably heard about it. It is the cortisol face. Cortisol this, cortisol that. I'm going to save the rest of it because the video we're going to react to is a hilarious video.
You know what I can't wait to never hear about again? Cortisol levels. Cortisol levels. It's your cortisol levels. Cortisol. It's your cortisol. You big back puffy face. Every other freaking video on my For You page is assaulting me about my cortisol levels. It's like, does anybody even know what that means? Because up until a year ago, nobody was talking about this. I'm gonna solve all my problems. You don't have a husband? Lower your cortisol levels. You need to buy a house? Lower your cortisol levels. You can't swim? It's because of your cortisol.
You can't swim.
Oh my lord. I thought about maybe your cortisol levels don't want to be lowered. Maybe they want to be hired. I'm kidding. Maybe it's not bad for you. But Jesus Christ. Not that it, like, it's from stress. It comes from stress. Well, girl, you're stressing me out. Now I've got to figure out cortisol levels. Anyways, have a good day. Make sure to lower your cortisol levels.
Oh my god, I freaking love her.
Oh my god, that was so funny.
She's so hilarious. Well, obviously that was really funny. And it's a, you know, it's a comedic take to a very important topic. You know, I think the really important thing is, yes, like, stress is something we always talk about. We all know stress or stress management is very, very important, but honestly, even for us, like, especially like going through school and everything, it's easy to talk about managing your stress, keeping your stress down, but it's hard to talk about, or it's not talked about enough, of how do you do that?
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of that, you know, I'm not going to lie, comes with a lot of the self-work. Something that might work for me might not work for Dr. Britt. Something that works for Dr. Britt might not work for me, and, you know, vice versa, so forth and so on, right? So let's just
Dive right in.
Yeah,
I think that the real kind of trend that she was talking about is that everyone on TikTok is talking about the cortisol face, right? So we learned with Cushing's syndrome or Cushing's disease, that is a condition where your cortisol levels have been elevated for a very prolonged period of time. And there are a lot of health ramifications of your cortisol being elevated for a long period of time. One of those things being moon faces. Maybe we'll insert a picture here. But I think what I was seeing a lot of times on TikTok is, like, people would be like, here's how I lowered my cortisol, and here's how I used to have cortisol face, but now I'm healed. And people are just showing, like, younger versions of themselves. Yeah. And now they're obviously, like, slimmer in the face. I mean, there's definitely merit to moon faces and, you know, this excess cortisol causing a rounder face. But there is also the fact that, like, you could have lost weight, you could have grown up, and the fat distribution changes, right? So that's why you always want to make sure you go ahead and get tested. Don't just look at yourself in the mirror and listen to a TikTok and be like, okay, I have cortisol face, right? Because, yes, You want to make sure that your cortisol levels are at a healthy, normal level. But I feel like if your cortisol levels are normal and you're doing a lot of these cortisol reducing strategies, like, you could be sending yourself into, like, a low cortisol, you know, situation. And there are lots of health, you know, health issues that come with having low cortisol levels too. So
it's really interesting because, I mean, we talked about cortisol and our favorite way to test, like, salivary cortisol, right? Rather than just, like, a one time only, what is your cortisol looking like? What is your whole kind of daily pattern of cortisol looking like, because we do need cortisol in terms of, you know, our energy, our kind of like motivation, drive, along with that some, you know, immune system benefits, our wake sleep cycle that we've, you know, mentioned in, I think, the sleep episode, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, right, you know, someone might have high cortisol, you know, and have those kind of like the moon faces or the puffy, the cortisol face. But maybe someone who has low cortisol in the morning, but starts having, you know, higher cortisol down maybe mid-afternoon or like nighttime or something like that, can also start having moon faces, right? Or the cortisol face. So just by looking at yourself or looking at someone isn't just going to be a, oh, you have high cortisol.
If you haven't watched our previous like episodes where we talk about cortisol, here's kind of just like the basic spiel. Cortisol is a hormone that is released by our adrenal glands. So our adrenal glands, we call it the party hat of the kidney, because it sits on both of our kidneys. And the adrenal gland is important for not just producing cortisol, but producing some of our sex hormones, producing mineralocorticoids, and that has to deal with balancing our blood pressure and has a lot to do with balancing our solute, so like how hydrated we are in our body. So there's multiple things that the adrenal gland is known for. The reason why we produce cortisol is it should be in response to some sort of stressor. Traditionally, we would only release cortisol in moments of like fight or flight. Like we needed to run away from danger, or we needed to flee, or we needed to freeze and protect ourselves, right? So there are a number of different reasons why. We also talked about in previous episodes too, like cortisol can be released in response to pain, in response to like any physiological alarms going off in the body, whether that be thirst or hunger. And the reason why we release cortisol is it actually is supposed to help us adapt to the stressor. So there are some changes that happen. The reason why a lot of people will notice like the rounder face with excess cortisol is because, like we talked about, cortisol is related to, it is produced in the same area as our mineralocorticoids, where we work on reabsorption of our minerals in our body. And so we tend to reabsorb a lot of sodium when we are in an excess cortisol state. And we deplete a lot of other nutrients too, right? Like magnesium, potassium. So I think the water retention and that sodium retention is the reason why a lot of people will notice that kind of like swelling appearance or feeling puffy. That's why a lot of the treatments are really around making sure you balance your electrolyte levels. There are lots of other strategies that we use in a naturopathic sense. Mm-hmm.
I feel like one other thing, right, especially when we talk about Cushing's and the moon faces, the cortisol phase, part of that also can come from more of adipose tissue development or buildup. In terms of having more of the puffy face, sometimes it can be more of the combination of the water retention and what that Dr. Britt was saying, but also maybe it's just a little more fat within your facial features, right? So yeah, whether it's like losing weight and or balancing your adrenal glands and your cortisol, sure, that does, you know, have good benefits when mm-hmm. it comes to getting rid of the cortisol face. But again, someone on the internet saying like, this is what I did to get rid of my cortisol face or whatever it was. Maybe it was like ashwagandha. Maybe it was like I drank my adrenal cocktail or, you know, whatever. I think they all have good, you know, intentions behind them. But again, it's better and more of an investment for you to actually get your cortisol tested, not just your morning cortisol, but again, that 24-hour period of what is your cortisol pattern looking like and really addressing it accordingly to that, along with other lifestyle and dietary and, you know, other foundation of health related things that you can do.
I like the idea of people being aware of how short-term and long-term effects of your cortisol production affect different things, right? So like when we are in an acute stress state, our body is in that survival mode. And so we actually, releasing cortisol actually helps you to like break down stores. We learned about how cortisol actually helps you to mobilize a lot of that energy because it thinks you're in danger and it thinks you're going to need energy to run. So in the acute stress state, if you've ever been one of those people where it's like, okay, if you're under an acute stress, you tend to drop weight really quickly or you don't feel as hungry. And that's because cortisol actually helps you to mobilize your energy stores for in the acute state. But if that state goes on for a long period of time, you actually enter that maladaptive state where now you're actually starting to accumulate more fat, you're starting to have more blood sugar issues, you're starting to notice a lot of those negative implications. And so that's the important piece of understanding that you could be in different stages of that cortisol stress response. Not everyone is going to be in the same stage even if their cortisol levels are elevated, right? Like somebody could be in the very acute state where it's only been going on for maybe a couple of days or even a couple of weeks. Some people, it could have been going on for several months or even years, right? We think about those patient populations with like trauma history. So I think that's really why we're trying to say like it's a very important to test because the treatment plan for you is going to be very different. I think a lot of what I've seen on the internet are these girls that are saying like, okay, when you wake up in the morning, in order to reduce your cortisol and wake up in the morning, don't look at your phone, eat protein, don't do high intensity. Like these are all super, super generalized types of things that honestly, I think you should be doing anyway, whether you have high cortisol or not.
Good general things, sure. But yeah. Like side note, I feel like obviously, protein is really important, but I feel like this high protein thing is kind of like the new, like it's driving me a little crazy where I'm just like, okay, like, yeah, like we want more of the protein, especially if we want to build muscle and, you know, satiety and things like that. But yeah. I'm like, it's getting a little bit on my nerves.
Yeah, it's heading, we're heading down that keto route again. Yeah. I almost feel like, right, yeah. Where it's like, okay, we go down this in the health and wellness kind of atmosphere, we head down keto and now there's like the carnivore diet where people are like, don't even, they hate all carbs and not one carb, not even if it's a vegetable carb, right? And then I think we see the ramifications probably on other health systems of having this type of like mono theory type of diet. And then we start to retract back around like, okay, carbs are good again. Carbs are good again. Okay, bad again.
We were wrong. Come back.
What we always talk about is a very balanced, nutrient-dense diet, eat the rainbow, right? Like not all carbs are bad, that type of situation. And I think some of those recommendations are very, very generalized and people should be focusing on making sure they're eating a very good balanced breakfast in the morning. But those things may not be enough to get somebody out of an acute stress state. Mm-hmm. So why don't we kind of dive into like our favorite things to like help balance cortisol or even lower cortisol?
One thing I always tell my patients is that there's not a lot of supplements that when it comes to something that I want someone to be on it, like I don't want to say for the rest of their life, but like more regimentally, right? Like more consistently, unless it's like things like multivitamin, like fish oil. And the other thing is adrenal support. Now, adrenal support can, again, depending on what your cortisol looks like, be very different of a formula. I think we can kind of maybe start that because a lot of these things are like herbs and nutrients and minerals, I guess I'll fall into nutrients. Yeah, herbs and nutrients and things like that. But when it comes to herbs especially, there's things that are more of like lowering cortisol. So great for people who have high cortisol. There's more of a stimulating herbs that are good for low cortisol people. And then there's kind of like the neutral things, more of like what we call modulators, depending on maybe if you're someone who is maybe low cortisol in the morning, but then like start getting high towards the end of the day or anything like that, really helps to modulate to kind of bring that down to like balance it out, right? I feel like that category is usually my favorite because if we can, not that I want to generalize any care or for anybody, but if we can really like simplify and generalize it, I feel like that's a group of herbs that works really wonders for a lot of people, no matter what you're kind of trending down in terms of or up on cortisol. But I would say like rhodiola is a good one. Shisandra.
So I love you. I know you love Shisandra. We had our like favorite adaptogens in school. Mine was Holy Basil because I feel like Holy Basil is more of like that modulating type of wheat. Type of adaptogen. So this is the importance of working with a provider that was trained thoroughly in herbal medicine and botanical medicine, because we learn about not only just the different like usages of these herbs and what they're good for and their constituents, but like energetically how they should be used in certain patient constitutions, right? So like Dr. Lisa was saying, if someone has higher levels of cortisol, you don't want to give them the stimulating adaptogens that are just going to drive them through the roof. Things like your favorite Korean, Korean ginseng.
Siberian ginseng.
Yeah, Siberian ginseng. The ginsengs are like really stimulating. Sometimes I feel like in certain situations, rhodiola can be a little bit more on the stimulating side. And then I think about like those people that have the very high cortisol, like the lowering thing. So we think of more of the calming adaptogens. Like I feel like Holy Basil tends to be on the calmer side. I feel like lavender, chamomile, a lot of these more nervine, like calming nervous system. Like
ashwagandha.
Yep.
Magnolia are good, more of the calming ones as well. Mm-hmm. But fun fact, we used to put ginseng in our coffee during school. That was fun.
Driving up our cortisol reaction. Yes.
Now I'm like, get that away from me. Actually, no, that's a lie. I took Korean ginseng this morning.
Sometimes it can be very helpful. And we learned about it in that sort of like performance and like stimulating endurance and all of those types of things. I would say, there are a number of different herbal adaptogens that you can utilize. It really just depends on your constitution and what your cortisol levels look like. Then we would decide to use one over the other. One thing that I have used a lot in practice as well to lower people's cortisol levels, specifically at night, is phosphatidylserine. And it's usually, I think we're thinking about the same product that has like magnolia and ashwagandha and phosphatidylserine. That is really awesome for those patients where like they're riding high throughout the day and even into the night so that they can't fall asleep. They can't get their cortisol levels down. And I think we talked about this in the sleep.
I need this.
Yeah.
I need this product.
Yeah. And I will say that there is a lot to like, because sometimes people will have bad reactions to these types of herbs, and because they have an effect on your cortisol levels, they may also have an effect on your immune system and your immune reaction. That's something to be mindful of. Like, herbs are great, but they're not necessarily the safest thing in the world to just be taking any old thing.
Right. And again, that's also why it's so important, like Dr. Britt mentioned multiple times, to work with a provider who's trained and knows the ins and outs of like herbs and nutrients, is that some of them also interact with certain medications. So if you're someone who's taking a medication regimentally for whatever have you, you have to make sure that whatever you're taking for that cortisol reducing or increasing or whatever it is, that it doesn't interact with your medication, because that side effect, that adverse effect of medication interaction is probably going to spike your cortisol.
Yeah.
So
one thing I will say about strategies for decreasing your cortisol levels or even balancing your cortisol levels is this idea of limiting your caffeine intake. Because we do know that caffeine is, I call it like liquid cortisol. It really does help to kind of prolong the cortisol effect so that you're awake and you're alert and you're energized. But I think a lot of times what we see in our daily lifestyle with patients is they're waking up, they're fasting, they haven't had anything to eat, they do their morning caffeine on an empty stomach, and then that's driving their cortisol up even higher. So I do like the idea of like waiting, having some water, having some sustenance, replenishing your body first before you give yourself that little kick in the butt. And oftentimes I feel like if you're the type of person too where you tend more on the side of like anxious, where if you're very sensitive to caffeine, it could be just because your cortisol is riding high, because that's one of the symptoms of an acute cortisol reaction is anxiety and just feeling
panicky.
Yes, exactly. So that's something to be mindful of.
I usually tell people, and I've started incorporating this myself too, of like waiting ideally an hour after you wake up to do a lot of those like cortisol increasing things, right? Rather it's coffee or even looking at my phone. Sometimes it's hard to do, but at least for coffee, I try to wait at least, if I can really, really just like get at least 30 minutes in between waking up and my coffee intake, perfect. And then making sure, like Dr. Britt says, something with your stomach, within your stomach, so that you're not drinking coffee on an empty stomach that's driving that really high. Or some people, you know, do more of a, if you're a coffee drinker, maybe switching to things like matcha or hojicha or something that has more of like in those kind of green tea family, right? There is caffeine. It's a lot less than, you know, you would get in a coffee or espresso, but there's also things like L-theanine to kind of help balance the anxiety piece.
Yeah. On that note too, with like caffeine or coffee alternatives, I love the mushroom, like the adaptogenic mushroom coffee kind of blends, because there's a lot of mushrooms like reishi, cordyceps and all of that that is very helpful with our adaptogens, but then they're also very powerful like antioxidants. So I like the idea of someone using that as like a coffee alternative if they don't want to do caffeine, but they want that kind of adaptogenic blend of things. And I think to the point of what you're saying, like not looking at your phone, I think most people understand that the reason why we say don't look at your phone in the morning is because there's lots of things in this little gadget that have the possibility of raising your cortisol levels, because at the end of the day, cortisol release and stress is perceived, right? It has to start with, do we perceive a stressor? Do we perceive a danger? And unfortunately, with the phones, we can't control what pops up on here. Like someone could message me right now and it could send me spiraling, right? I think that's an important plug too, to start working with a mental health professional, doing some sort of therapy. It doesn't have to be working with a therapist, although we do say like that's probably one of the best ways to work on your mental health.
I mean, there's so many ways to go about it, right? Like the common things that people do is like go on a walk, listen while you're listening to music or podcasts or like this one. Or, you know, hanging out with your friends, or, you know, journaling, meditation, reading a book, so many different things. But again, what might work for one person might not work for the other. I get really distracted easily, obviously. So yeah. Reading a book sometimes makes me more stressed and spikes my cortisol than like someone who loves to read books and more calming, right? So again, it's very tailored to what are some things that you can do that can really help you tap into more of that calm, lowering cortisol energy. Hobbies are probably one of like the most fun things that you can do for yourself that's also lowering cortisol.
When I ask people what makes you genuinely happy, like when you're doing it, you love it and enjoy it. And a lot of people look at me like kind of like deer in the headlights, like, I don't know. Like, and a lot of times people will say like, I actually have to think about it. Like, I don't know what makes me happy. But finding those things is genuinely like what we tell people to do to reduce their cortisol. You know, whether that's being out in nature, or being around people, surrounding yourself with community, hobbies, like Dr. Lisa was saying. So it doesn't look the same for every individual person. And I think the important thing is that there are providers out there that can actually help you brainstorm. Like sometimes I will, you know, I will ask people on their intake their stress coping mechanisms, and then we'll talk a little bit about that. Like, how can we incorporate more of what makes you happy into your daily life? I wanted to bring this up because we kind of touched on it a little bit, but the whole adrenal cocktail movement, like the sleepy girl mocktail that's been going on. So people have been making these adrenal cocktails in the morning, and they essentially contain like the cream of tartar. I don't know how to even pronounce tartar. It's tartar essentially sauce. Potassium. Yeah, I thought it was that too. When I was like tartar sauce, and they're mixing it with like oranges. I was like, what is going on here? But it's cream of tartar, which is essentially just potassium, because like we talked about, when you're dumping cortisol, you're also dumping a lot of your minerals like magnesium and potassium. So it has that. It has vitamin C, like orange salt, coconut water, so yeah, the electrolytes. I haven't tried it myself, but I did recently purchase a bag of cream of tartar, so maybe we can do a future like taste test.
I like the adrenal cocktail. The only thing that worries me, especially with the cream of tartar, right? But more in the lens of potassium. Sometimes people, and sometimes it's a constitution thing. I do this sometimes wherever I'm making something. I don't really kind of measure out, right? So you just kind of eyeball it, right? With potassium, you really, really, really want to be careful, because too much potassium or hyperkalemia can do a number of things on your health. So things like nausea, things like muscle cramps, or muscle pain even, and just a lot of systemic things that can occur because of that now imbalance and too much of potassium that's going in your electrolyte balance. So make sure if you're going to do it, do it carefully and
follow a recipe.
Just eyeball it. Maybe don't do too much of the cream of tartar.
Yeah.
That was it for our very last episode of season two, about cortisol and all things cortisol face and whatnot. So we hope you guys like this episode and love this season. Make sure you are also following us on all our social media. If you're watching this on YouTube, thumbs up. I don't know what you can do on the audio podcast, but do that.
And yeah, we're going to take a little brief little intermission. This will be our, I guess, a little like summer break, I guess. And then we're going to be back. I forget the date already, but we'll insert here. This is the date where our fall season 3 will be back.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, you won't see that in the audio. If you guys have any ideas for anything that you want to hear from us about for season 3, now is a really great time to let us know, because we're going to be getting prepared to record those things. All right, guys, as always, be real
and stay well.
We'll see you next season. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Real Docs Podcast. Don't forget to like and share this episode and follow us on our social media pages. Tune in every Wednesday for more episodes.